Welcome to the Crosslands Church podcast. Our mission, to help you experience the life with God you've been missing. And now, a message for you.
Well, a big welcome to everybody that's joining us online, as well as everybody that's here in the room. As we continue to move forward in the middle of the pandemic, in the middle of these trials and challenges, and so we are in a message series talking about how to triumph through the trials. We can face these things, and we can break, or we can become stronger. We can quit, or we can persevere and triumph. And so today, we've done a couple of messages on sort of introducing it and contextualizing our trials. Today, I want to give sort of the first part of how to actually triumph. And we're going to get very specific in this over the next few weeks. Just a bit of a heads up. I mentioned this last week. We are planning something special for Christmas Eve. It's going to be different from normal because we just can't fit everybody into the room. And the reality is, with the situation we're in our province, we're not even sure what we're going to be allowed to do by the time Christmas comes around. And we're actually watching it very, very closely because Monday, York Region goes to red status. And we're at this point, we're planning on having an in-service person, but we're prepared to shift and adjust if we need to. So that's just a bit of a heads up. I'm thankful that we're able to be flexible. I'm thankful that we have the means to continue to have our service, even when things have changed. And it has been a learning, challenging, growing experience. So let's jump into the message. There was a kid who was learning to read, and he was sitting on the couch trying to read a book, and his dad was in the room, and he looked up to his dad. He said, "Dad, what does exasperation mean?" His dad said, "Oh, I can show you what that means." And so his dad said, "Watch this." And he took out his cell phone and he put it on speakerphone and he dialed up the number of somebody that worked at his company that he didn't know very well, but the guy had a really, really bad reputation, a bad temper and so on. So he said, "Watch this." So he calls a number and the guy answers, says, "Hello." And his dad says, "Hello, is Adolf there?" And the guy says, "There's no Adolf here. What are you calling me for? Man, get your number right," and hangs up on him. And his son says, "Is that exasperation, Dad?" His dad says, "No, that's annoyance. Watch this." He calls the guy back. The guy says, "What do you want?" "Hello, is Adolf there? I told you there's nobody named Adolf here." And he hangs up again. He's angry. And the kid says, "Is that exasperation, Dad?" His dad says, "No. That's anger. Just give it a couple minutes and watch this." A few minutes later, he calls back again. The guy answers, "What?" He says, "Hi, this is Adolf. I've wondered if anybody has left some messages for me over the past 15 minutes. That's exasperation. I want to look at a couple of verses that Mariah introduced last week, James 1, verses 2 to 4. And it says this. We're going to sort of pick it apart as we go. James 1, 2 to 4. It's at the very beginning of the letter. And James says, "Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way." Now, I want you to notice the very first word he says after his greetings is "when." He doesn't say "if." If troubles come your way. When troubles come your way. We are guaranteed to experience trouble in this world. Jesus said, "In this world, you will have trouble." They're guaranteed to come. All kinds. Troubles of all kinds will come your way. That means things that annoy you, things that anger you, things that exasperate you, things that disturb you and depress you. All these things will come your way. We talked a little bit over the past couple weeks about where these come from. You know, evil and malevolence, as well as just the simple broken world. You know, when you get sick or you have an accident, when you're driving behind a truck and he's slow, and you turn your left signal on to go into the left lane, and somebody rushes up to fill that spot so you can't make the turn. When you're walking from the kitchen to the dining room with a bowl of cereal and it falls and breaks, these are the big and the little things that irritate us, they annoy us, they challenge us, they wreck your day, they wreck your week, they wreck your month, your year, sounds like the theme from Friends. Daily trials, weekly trials, big ones and small ones. This is what James says about it. He says, "Consider this an opportunity." That could be translated, "Esteem it, value it. Look at these experiences highly. Welcome them. as an opportunity for great joy. That's really counterintuitive. It's paradoxical. When things challenge you, things frustrate you, things anger you and annoy you, there's a whole new paradigm as followers of Jesus. These are opportunities for great joy. It could also be translated as full joy, all joy, complete joy. Because you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. Now let's look at the last verse here, verse 4. So let it grow. Your endurance has a chance to grow. Let it grow, for when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. We have a sense that as human beings, we will never be perfect and complete. And yet there's a promise here. It says, when you build your endurance, you won't need anything because you will be living in that faith that overcomes trials, it overcomes challenges. The problem is that when we face challenges, we don't know how to do that. We don't know what to do. So trials come, not just bad things, but bad things that interrupt what we want, bad things that interrupt our goals. For example, you're driving to work and a car accident gets in your way. Before you were fine, now you're late. It interrupts your intention. You may have challenges that interrupt you getting a promotion or impressing that girl in high school, right? Something happens where you embarrass yourself and all of a sudden it's a challenge because it's interrupting your goal. It interrupts your path from the fridge to the dining room with your bowl of cereal. If we didn't have an intention that was being interrupted, challenges wouldn't really faze us. But we have things that we want to do, things we want to accomplish, and then they're interrupted. And then we don't know what to do. How do we deal with that? More than just interrupting your intent, at the worst, they can challenge your self-identity. It can challenge your sense of capacity, where you're faced with a question, and it's usually subconscious, can I handle this? Can I make it to my end goal, or am I not good enough? It's why we get frustrated. It's why we get angry. Because it isn't just an interruption of intention. It's a challenge to our own ability or our sense of our own ability to do what needs to be done to make it in the world. Our default response to challenges, our default response to trials, it's a safety measure. It's built in. It's called pain avoidance. We want to avoid pain because pain is related to injury and death. And so when we come to trials, whether they're physical or emotional or relational or whatever, we want to find ways to avoid the pain. And so we try to define the issue or control the issue. Sometimes we do that by blaming others. You ever do something when you're alone in a room? You do something by accident, like you drop your coffee or spill your coffee, and your first thing is to blame somebody else that's not even in the room? Maybe I'm the only one that does that. We look for reasons. We look for reasons for other people, and we look for reasons for ourselves. I came across a quote by Kate Bowler, who wrote in a book called Everything Happens for a Reason and Other Lies I've Loved. She says, when someone is drowning, the only thing worse than failing them to throw them a life preserver is handing them a reason. When we're facing trials, we need help. We need a way to overcome. We need to find a meaning and a purpose, not just a reason. And the reality is you may never find reasons for some of the challenges and trials you go through. Certainly when they're those big ones that are sort of the markers of the broken world that we live in, it's not good enough for us to say there's a broken world, we need more than that, and you're not always going to find it. It helps to have a purpose, understand there's a purpose, but reasons, not necessarily. So we try to define it, understand it, control it, and we try to run away from it. You can't run away from trials and challenges because wherever you run to, you bring them with you, or you'll find new ones, or they actually chase you. You can't get away from trials and challenges. It's kind of artwork called a mosaic, and it's where people take broken bits of stone and they put them together into a beautiful piece of art. And each piece of stone is kind of nothing by itself, but it fits into something bigger. This is what God does with our challenges. This is what he does with our trials. When your situation is bad, God is good. And he's the expert at making good things out of bad situations. He's the expert at finding and bringing out good from things that are bad. When you're caught by surprise, God's never caught by surprise. He never says, oops. When you're breaking or when you're broken, God is the master of taking broken pieces and putting it together to make a masterpiece. When you face the worst the world can throw at you, God is the master of leveraging that and working through it for your benefit and for the benefit of his ultimate purposes, his coming kingdom in this world. That's what he does. That's who he is. Jesus, we talked about this last week, he absorbed evil in his suffering. He didn't fight back. He absorbed it. And through that absorption of the worst the world could throw at him, he came through it and defeated it from the inside out. He took on the evil of the world all the way to death and came through the other side to resurrection. And so we are called to do. To, in the process of experiencing challenges, experiencing trials, to come through that. Regardless of whether you know the reasons, regardless of whether you are at fault or whether you're not at fault, we come through it. I want to share a little bit of an interview this morning with somebody from Crossland's Church. Her name is Michelle Reynolds, and I'm not going to say much about it. I'm going to let it run, and then we'll keep going after that. So this is Michelle Reynolds. Michelle has been part of Crossland's Church for a number of years, and last year, 2019, went to Japan for full-time missions work, and we support Michelle financially, and it's been a wild ride. So not only have you been working on language and culture, but then COVID hits. So it's been a long time since we've had an update from you for the church. So what's going on?
Well, so the past year has been, so I've been in Japan for a year and a half. Year one, amazing. Very, very difficult, but amazing. I've been going to school, and that has been extremely difficult, but also very encouraging. I've met a lot of other Christians at that school from different organizations like Send Crew, Southern Baptist Convention. And the Japanese schooling system is rather intense to the point where it breaks you. They will give you intensive language, and then they will give you intensive homework, and they will continue to drill it in you over and over and over and over and over and over until it's either in your head or you're in a corner going, why did I do this? So COVID hit here at the beginning of this year. And so from January to June, I was still fine. And then when June hit, I suddenly was not sleeping. I was getting panic attacks. I was just going through a lot of things that I recognized to be spiritual warfare. And it got intense. To the point where I actually had to stop going to school entirely and do private tutoring instead because it was just a little easier to do and to manage. And I have a mentor over here through team. Her name's Tracy. And she, at the beginning of this year, when I was still in language school, I had told her how difficult school was getting and how much they were ramping things up and how quickly it was going. And she had said that maybe God was trying to give me a taste of what Japanese students go through so that I can better understand them later down the road when I'm working with them.
Because that's your intention, right?
That is my intention. So now that I've been going through all of these mental health, spiritual warfare issues, I'm seeing another side of Japan. Japan does not recognize mental health. They have a mindset called gaman, which is just bear with it. Just smile and bear with it. Doesn't matter how miserable you are, just deal with it. And that translates into their mental health as well. So in terms of mental health, we had to get one of my other friends and I had to go to 8 different doctors in one day just to find the correct type of doctor to get medication to help calm the anxiety attacks. Because they realized that they have finally, after 29 years, diagnosed me with ADHD and decided, okay, if we deal with this, maybe it'll help the anxiety and help calm me down and all of that. But there's this whole side of Japan that I knew about. I knew that they didn't deal with mental health. I knew that the suicide rate is through the roof. And even now with COVID, it's even worse. And it's just something they're not dealing with. And so suddenly for the past 4 or 5 months, I've been experiencing this other side of Japan. And I can see just how exhausting and how hopeless it could seem to someone who doesn't have the encouragement and the support that I have through my missions organization and through my friends that I've made here and all of that. Because people here, if you start talking about problems, Japanese people will just be like, no, let's talk about something else. That's not something that we do here.
Right.
And
so when you started this whole process, you were very excited about going to Japan, beautiful country. Right. You started the fundraising process, which turned out to be a lot more difficult than you expected. So it was a big challenge, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you made it through, right? And then you hit language, which, you know, it's just language, big challenge. It's a very different language,
mm-hmm.
right? And now this. So you've gone from challenge to challenge to challenge, and those are just the ones that I know about.
Yeah.
So aren't you getting sick of this?
I don't remember if you remember the first interview that we had, where when I was applying to Japan, one of the forms that I found said pretty much run for dear life, because Japan is one of the hardest countries to bring the gospel to. And that made me so unbelievably mad that I was like, no, I don't care if it's hard. I'm going to run to Japan. Because if everyone's running the opposite way, how on earth are they supposed to hear the gospel? So I knew I knew a long time ago that I was going to be hit with one thing after another in succession. And I was okay with that. I still am. It sucks, but I still am.
And so what do you foresee in your immediate future and your far future? Or can you even see that?
I wish I could tell the future. That'd be great. But right now, my immediate future is school and working with the church that I have here. Because of COVID, they have hit a lot of roadblocks. Especially in terms of fellowship. That's been one of the biggest things that's been hit. Because churches here, right after church, everyone has a meal because churches are so small.
Right.
And they have not been allowed to do that. And that is where you really socialize and really get to know people. And so that's been really hard. People have been having to try and meet outside of church, but are still very cautious. For me, I want to get back into school as soon as I can. So we're looking at January to try and get me back into the system.
Right.
Immediate is definitely language learning. Still, I have quite a ways to go before I'm finished.
And what would you say that God is doing in your life right now?
Challenging me, molding me. He is breaking down every preconceived notion I ever had of missions and him, and trying to rebuild that in a tangible way. He has been so unbelievably gracious with me during this time. And I am really, really hoping that I can continue that trend and pay that forward to everyone that I meet here.
That's awesome. Well, I want to thank you for sharing where you are, and I'm sure we will be hearing more from you in the future. But it is our pleasure to continue to support you and to hear about what is going on there, what's going on in there in Japan, and how you're moving forward towards your goals. So thanks for sharing this today.
Thank you.
It was great to hear from Michelle to get sort of a follow-up, but what she described is sort of what we're talking about today. And I want to tell a story. There was a four-year-old child named Brian, and he was with his dad in the grocery store. And as they were lined up to pay for all the food, Brian's looking around all the carts that are full of food and groceries. And he says the way only four-year-olds can speak about inappropriate things in the grocery store. He says very loudly, "Daddy, when you were in prison, what did you eat?" And of course, his dad's trying to keep him quiet. "What'd you eat, Dad? You ate bugs, right?" See, Brian's father's name was Everett Alvarez Jr., and he was the grandson of poor Mexican immigrants to the United States. And in the 1960s, he was on track for the United States astronaut program. And he was a fighter pilot. Hispanic fighter pilots were very rare, and there were no Hispanics in the space program. And so he had a future set out for him. But in 1964, he was part of a very early air battle over North Korea, and he was shot down. And he became the first American prisoner of war in the infamous Hanoi Hilton prisoner of war camp. And he spent the next 8.5 years in that prison camp. Confined to his cell, he learned to what he called embrace the suck. That is a phrase that at the time was not part of the military training program. It is now. Embrace the suck means lean into the pain. Just take it on. It's a common military term now, and it means this is really bad, so let's make the best of it. According to an article on military.com, a large number of American prisoners did whatever they could to survive and thrive. One prisoner, he doesn't cause these things. God doesn't cause our trials. He doesn't need to. The world offers enough trials to us that he doesn't need to cause them. He leverages what is available. He has a purpose for the world, and he has a purpose for you. And he is prepared to leverage every opportunity to make those things come true. So we don't dismiss trials. They're very real. The pain is real. It's not fake. It's not meaningless. They can be very, very hard. Our challenge is to embrace the suck. Submit to God's process. We can't control everything that happens to us. Some things we can. We can't control everything, but we can control the way we respond to it. And we do that based on our trust in God's goodness. Lean into the pain and lean into your relationship with God in trust of his goodness. Here are some questions to ask when you go through trials. What's going on here? What is God wanting to do right now? That's a great question in trials. And there are some here who are just at the end of your rope in terms of the trials we're experiencing. Maybe they're related to COVID. Maybe they're pre-COVID. Maybe they're after COVID. Well, after COVID started, hasn't finished yet. And maybe God has given you dreams and ideas for your future, and those dreams are dying. Those dreams are getting buried in the ground. What is God doing now that will facilitate those dreams? Because God's not done. Regardless of the trial you're going through, God is not finished with the world. God is not finished with you. And you're in the middle of an uncompleted mosaic. He's still at work putting the stones together for a beautiful piece of art. Esteem your trials as valuable because God's purposes are at work. And so our new approach as followers of Jesus, which is different from the world, is our approach is joy because God is still at work and God is not finished yet. Esteem your trials. And over the next few weeks, this is a bit of a heads up, we're going to look at very specific, three or four very specific ways about how we can do this, how we can maximize our experiences to align ourselves with God's purposes. The message of Jesus, absorbing evil, taking it to the cross, defeating it, defeating our greatest enemy, death, coming through the resurrection, that is a message of hope. If you don't have Jesus in your life, there is no ultimate meaning, and there's no ultimate meaning and purpose in trials. Everything just kind of goes away. But with God, there's meaning and there's purpose. And maybe you're going through trials right now and you don't have a relationship with Jesus. I want to offer you the hope that Jesus gives you because he leverages everything bad and turns it good, both in this world and in the eternal world to come. And so if you are not a follower of Jesus, I want to invite you to become a follower of Jesus, to walk the path his path where everything bad in your life can be turned good. He can make good out of everything. So how do you get in on this? How do you align yourselves with God's purpose? It starts with this. We say this weekly. It's as simple as ABC. It starts with admitting your need. I acknowledge that my best efforts are not doing it. I can't handle the trials on my own. I am challenged by the incapacity of giving an appropriate response to the challenges. I can't make something good out of bad on my own. And we all bring our own bad to the equation. But God even takes everything that is part of who you are and everything that's going on around you and has the capacity to make something good. So A is admit. B is believe. It is not just a question of opinion. It's a question of trust. Do you trust in Jesus' path, his death and resurrection, that doesn't just model what we do? It makes possible our relationship with God. It makes possible for us. It opens up access to God's power to make everything good out of everything bad in our life. Believe that, trust it. And then C is to commit, to give him your full allegiance, to say no to your old life, and to begin walking that path, to begin walking that path where you acknowledge his purposes in every trial and say, yes, this is yours. I'm giving it to you. I'm living your life now, no longer my own. And so what we're going to do is I'm going to lead you in a prayer. And if you are making the decision for the first time, I need to get on this path. I need to follow Jesus. I need to become what God has created me to be. Follow along in this prayer. Make the words your own. You can even repeat the words. And that's your first step into a whole new life, a life where your spirit comes alive. So pray something like this. Father in heaven, I admit that I can't make it without you. I acknowledge that I need you. So I'm choosing to trust today in Jesus' sacrifice for me. I'm choosing to trust that this is the way I need to walk in that is only made possible through Jesus. And so I'm committing my life to you today. I'm saying no to my old life, and I'm saying yes to the life that you have for me. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. And if this is something that you've done for the first time together today, I would challenge you to walk together with other followers of Jesus. We have a community here at Crossings Church, and this is who we are. We're people who are striving to follow Jesus. And yes, we do it imperfectly, but we need one another to do it. We were not called to walk this life alone. And so I would encourage you to connect with us. The easiest, best way is to go online, go to crossings.live and click the follow Jesus button. Give us your contact info and we'll give you next steps. We'll tell you how to plug in with us and how to walk forward and how to grow in this commitment to Jesus. We all face trials. We're all facing trials at present. We do it collectively, we do it individually. We struggle for reasons, sometimes we struggle for solutions, sometimes we try to run from our trials. And you can complain about it, you can blame others about it, you can become bitter, or you can begin to find God's purpose in the trials because he has them and they are available to us. We need to align ourselves with purpose, with his purpose. We're going to close in prayer. Father, I thank you that you are a good God. I thank you that your power is beyond our imagination, that your plans for us are beyond our imagination. Plans for good, plans for hope, plans for a future. Father, I pray that you would help us to shift our perspective in our trials. In this present trial, the pandemic, and also in the other trials that we experience individually, our families, our relationships, the things we own that break down, even in our drives to work where we're interrupted if we're doing that. The big and the little things. Help us to align our purpose with you on a daily basis. Help us to build up the practice, the habit of putting our attention on you in our trials. May we see you at work. Form us closer and closer into the likeness, the image of Jesus. I thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to the Crosslands Church podcast. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes or the Google Play Store so that it comes straight to your device. And to find out more about Crosslands Church, you can visit us at crosslands.ca. Join us next week for another message to help you experience the life with God you've been missing.